Hare, Krishna and Rama are transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the Lord Father's grace, and the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants the mantra sincerely. Once I was in India, and I was in Kanpur giving a lecture in the university, and then there was a man who started to breathe very strongly during the talk. So much that it was clear that he wanted to say something. So, all right, he said something at the end. And he said, oh, this was so nice. You spoke of the Kris Dhatu. The word Dhatu is referring to the Sanskrit root of a word. So he said, you spoke so nice of the Kris Dhatu. And then he said, Ka for Kala, Ra for Rakta, Sa for Sukla. Or Kala for the black incarnation, Ra Rakta for the red incarnation, Sa Sukla, the white incarnation, Tri Yugi Narayan, he says. Tri Yugi Narayan. Yes. So he gave a whole explanation. So then I explained to him that actually the Vaishnava Acharyas give another explanation of the Krishna Dhatu. They say it comes from Akarsan, which means to attract, and that Krishna means he who attracts. Krish means he who attracts, and Na means Anand, happiness. And then the man got ecstatic symptoms. He said, Oh, your explanation is better than mine. And, and later on it turned out that he was the head of a Sanskrit college, professor and everything. But one may be a professor, and one may be a Sanskrit professor, and one may be able to break Sanskrit words and deal with all the meanings of the syllables and so on. But one cannot understand Krishna in that way. And one cannot understand the meaning of the Maha Mantra. The meaning of the Maha Mantra is revealed by the pure devotees and revealed by Krishna himself. Yes, here it is said that the three words, namely Hare, Krishna and Ram, are the transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. Sometimes we see that people, they chant names of Krishna, and they mix it all up. Govinda, Gopal, Murari, Hari, and like that. And, we are hearing that all these names, Govinda, Gopal, and so on, are primary names that Krishna is having in his eternal spiritual activities, and certain those names are equally powerful than the name of Krishna. One may have secondary names, such as where Krishna is described as the one who is doing something in this world, Jagatpati, the father of the universe, or Srishtikarta, the one who is the doer, the ultimate doer behind the creation. These are secondary names of Krishna. Krishna doing some temporary work, but the eternal names like Gopal and Govinda, these are the primary names, and those one must chant. So if someone chants Gopal, Govinda, Krishna, Hari, Murari, isn't that nice? It is nice, but it is not as nice as the Maha Mantra. Because in the Maha Mantra, there is a relationship. Hare or the pleasure potency of Krishna is engaging in the service of the all-attractive Supreme Lord. And the result, Ramanti yogino nante satchananda chiratmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidiyate. The result is that we are experiencing transcendental happiness. So like that, the Maha Mantra is revealing a relationship. It is revealing the entire process of devotional service. Everything is there. Therefore, it cannot be changed. Some are thinking, well, but if we chant Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, then that's even more intimate than chanting Hare Krishna. But actually, everything is there, because Hare is referring to devotional service, and how that devotional service can capture Krishna, because Hare means to steal or to capture. So that devotional service can attract even the all-attractive Krishna, or in particular the personality who is the personification of devotional service, Srimati Radharani, is able to steal away Krishna. So therefore, actually, no, the highest rasa is all there in the Maha Mantra. So the Maha Mantra is including a whole relationship. In some Puranas, the mantra is written as Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. And there's always arguments. In Bihar, we find that this is chanted a lot, this Hari, first Hari Ram and then Hari Krishna. And the argument is then made that Lord Ramachandra appeared first. So therefore, Ram should be chanted first, and Krishna appeared later, therefore Krishna should be chanted later. Yeah, but that is actually only in the material world, to our perception. Because they appear again and again, right? Not just once, they appear again and again. So where is the question of who was first? They appear eternally. And of course, we understand Ishvara Parama Krishna Satsidananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, that Krishna is the Adipurush. He is the origin of all. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Dipachir is the he, the Santaram Abhyupecha, Dipayate Viritahinu Samana Dharma, Yastadrikevicha Vishnu Tayor Vibhata, Vibhati Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. From one candle, one deepa, one can light so many others. So it is said Krishna is there recognized as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Ramachandra is considered to be his expansion. He is an avatar, a lila avatar. So in this way, the name Krishna is chanted first. And that we find also, we find in the Kali Santaran Upanishad, Iti Saudasikam Nam Nam Kali Kalmasanasanam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there we find the Maha Mantra as we are chanting, and it is said that these 16 syllables will destroy the entire influence of Kali. And by the way, this when the speaker chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada never said that the devotees had to loudly speak out the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra whenever he spoke it, as we are doing, that they should join in that. No, it wasn't Prabhupada's instruction. It was just something the devotees started doing on their own. They just did it on their own. As Prabhupada was saying sometimes the full Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The devotees just spontaneously started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although no one told them to do that. And now, of course, it's become like part of the culture. Right? And it's a nice culture. But it's also nice to sometimes know the how it all began. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gradually began to introduce the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He gradually began to introduce kirtan. And it is said that in the beginning, Prabhupada taught the Swami step, as a simple step of crossing the legs with raised arms and kind of dancing movement in this way. It said, but then in Boston, there was a special program. In Boston, there was an old acquaintance from Vrindavan named Shama Ma, who has an ashram in Vrindavan, very close to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And Prabhupada knew Shama Ma from Vrindavan and whatever philosophical differences were there. When they met in America, she was there and she was playing the dolak, which is a drum like Mardanga. And she was playing the dolak and she was really good. And she really knew how to play it. So the kirtan started to really go while she was playing that dolak. And then Prabhupada asked her to lead the kirtan. And then she led this amazing kirtan. And then Prabhupada just suddenly, instead of doing Swami step, started jumping. And everyone was looking like, can you do that? Is that bona fide? Is that allowed? You know, and then within seconds, everyone started jumping. Everyone jumped like mad. Right? And then immediately after that kirtan, Madhu Dvisa rang up to San Francisco to tell him the news. Right? And immediately after that, they tried it in San Francisco as well. Right? And just from that day on, kirtan was never the same in ISKCON. There was no more gentle Swami step. It was jumping all the way. So Prabhupada wanted to create a world Sankirtan party. He was speaking with Hansa Dutta, who was a real kirtan leader. Hansa Dutta would start like kirtans in the fifth gear. There was no, it would very high, like, even Mangalarti was like, San Saradava, Nalida Loka. And then sort of after that, everyone was already flying. Yeah? And I've been in many kirtans with Hansa Dutta, so I remember these kirtans. Very high voice and very intense, but really good kirtans. So Prabhupada wanted a world Sankirtan party that would go around the world and just everywhere perform Harinam. That didn't really happen, although they formed a Sankirtan party that went to India. And that party, of course, in India, that was a big hit, a big hit. When they went to Gujarat and they started Harinam, the people spontaneously became so excited that they started to decorate the streets. Ladies start hanging colorful saris across the street to decorate the streets. And the mayor declared a public holiday. And there were 3 days holiday declared by the mayor. And for 3 days, the devotees were just going all over, having kirtan parties, and the whole city of Gujarat got into it. They were reciprocating. This was like something far out, something amazing, something worth closing down the city for 3 days. In this way, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, especially in Kirtan, was the primary process. We have spoken about japa, but I felt that actually Kirtan is very important. Without Kirtan, it is not really possible to become lifted up, because Kirtan is such that it just lifts us above the bodily identification, because in Kirtan one goes through its limits. You just did it. We could hear certain people go through their limits. Some were singing, some were screaming, some were, lots were jumping. The floor was also dancing, I guess. And maybe the deities on the table as well. We've had many times floors, wooden floors that have moved with devotees. In many temples we have seen the floor like, and if you were under it, you're looking at it and up and on top the devotees. Knee, die, go, all jump, boom, boom. It's like, but somehow or other, we didn't hear of devotees coming down with the whole floor. Yes, we had an Amsterdam temple like that also, and the deities would always dance with us on the altar. And somehow or other, it went on. So, Kirtan is what made Lord Chaitanya's movement famous. When the associates of Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, they began Prem Sankirtan. Immediately, all the people of Puri just came running from everywhere to see what was this. Never before had they heard such Kirtan or seen such Kirtan. So, and today, of course, something of that spirit has been transmitted from generation to generation of devotees. Some spontaneous enthusiasm. Yesterday in Tulku also, so many people. They were dancing and doing little steps everywhere. People naturally are attracted. In Africa, Africa is a country where every word is a song and every step is a dance. So that part is like the spiritual world. There are a few other things that are not quite like the spiritual world yet, but that part is really there. And it is just really, really fun. It's like Jnanivas did a special jump. I don't know how he did it, but suddenly he made this special jump, and somebody on the sidewalk made the same jump back. That's Africa. So the whole world. We were in Sydney once, and on the New Year's Eve, there are a million people gather around the Sydney Harbour area to celebrate the New Year, and we had every year very big Harinam parties with great Kirtan leaders. And then suddenly we came upon a group of about 100 Chinese, and they got into it. They got into the Kirtan in such a way, it was rocking. They were like flying, and I realized there is no problem for this movement to spread in China. Its success is guaranteed. There was, the Chinese are equally attracted to Harinam Sankirtan as people all around the world. So this is our movement, a movement of chanting and dancing, and we are, which brings us to the spontaneous platform, the platform where we go beyond reason, beyond where we just completely, just spontaneously begin to call out a name, begin to jump, and that is actually giving us a taste of spontaneous devotional service. Spontaneous devotional service is real devotional service. It is in spontaneous devotional service that we are actually chanting and dancing and serving Krishna, because we are doing it out of attraction, out of natural attraction. No longer calculated from, well, this is good for me, well, this is what is prescribed in the scriptures, this is my religious duty. All these considerations are no longer there. One simply, one doesn't even think about it. One just does it. That is a level of being attracted, which is very powerful. Such spontaneous devotional service can manifest in all kinds of ways. We had a priest who was visiting our temple, and a Catholic priest, and then suddenly somebody walked by with a tray with Mahaprasadam, and there were some balloon puris on it. And this priest just suddenly became taken over, and he just grabbed one, just like that. He just took the puri, right? He just took it, you know. Something nobody would do, right? in a strange place. But he did it, because somehow or other he got taken over to the spontaneous platform, and he just took that puri. Something similar was going on when Srila Prabhupada was flying on the plane. Srila Prabhupada had some puff rice in a bowl, and he's taking this puff rice, and the stewardess is walking past, and somehow or other she became completely attracted to that puff rice, and she said, oh, that looks very nice. And then she just put her hand in there and took some out of Prabhupada's bowl, just like that. Completely spontaneous. I mean, nothing. I mean, going to another level, right? I mean, for a moment, stepping out of the stewardess and passenger reality into like an eternal plane, where the opportunity was there to get the remnants of the pure devotee and just take it. And she got it. She got Prabhupada's remnants. So, what an amazing thing. And she became a devotee, of course, later on. Naturally, I mean, how could she not, after getting Prabhupada's remnants like that? So, amazing things are sometimes taking place in devotional service. There are many occasions that bring out this spontaneous platform. For example, Rath Yatra. Whenever we serve Lord Jagannath, it brings us beyond our limits. You can think, well, this time I will not go completely crazy in the Rath Yatra. Forget it, you will go completely crazy. That's the nature of Rath Yatra. Jagannath somehow or other takes us to our limits, through our limits, and there is also no limit to how much service Jagannath is able to receive. Therefore, you have to have Rath Yatra in your hometown, wherever it is. You have to organize. We can... Rath Yatra and Lord Chaitanya and his movement, they are very intimately connected. Lord Chaitanya himself, of course, in Jagannath Puri for many years, was performing Rath Yatra, 6 years actually, 6 years in a row. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was every year performing Rath Yatra. And later he stayed another 12 years in Jagannath Puri, and then he was too ecstatic to even deal with such things. That was another matter. But for 6 years, Lord Chaitanya was just dancing in Rath Yatra, and it was inconceivable. He would throw himself high in the air, and he was not considering how he would come down. And sometimes, in his ecstasy, he would just crash to the ground, full on. He'd jump really high and then just crash on the ground. And everyone just was thinking, his ribs will crash now, completely break. But somehow or other that didn't happen. Then he would just jump straight back up and continue dancing and do it again. So Nityananda started to catch him. As he was coming down, Nityananda was right next to him, catching him. And Lord Chaitanya would just jump so high, way above the crowd, and everyone was just looking in amazement. And then he would just start spinning around in circles, and he would go so extremely fast. It is compared to a firebrand. If you have let's say a red hot piece of wood, and if you move it very fast, then it just looked like a closed circle of fire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moving so fast that it just looked like a closed circle. So, who could imagine the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So somehow or other, this spontaneous platform in devotional service, that is what we are looking for. It is said, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramisyati. It starts with Shraddha, with faith, then comes Rati, ecstasy, and then comes Bhakti. Then Bhakti, step by step, these are developing. So it is like that. That real bhakti is just emerging from the heart. It comes spontaneous. So we are already for a whole weekend quite busy. And there is not much time at all. I don't know how many lectures I've given so far. I've lost count, but it was already quite a bit. And you have listened to them. Which is also quite a bit. And then the kirtans also, I forgot, since we left Helsinki, how many kirtans there were, how many, it's just kirtan, lecture, and it's like a multi-layer sandwich of like bread, butter and cheese, some bread, some more butter and cheese, and some tomatoes and avocados, and then some more bread, and it's like becoming quite high, huh? But the spirits are also high. We're having a good time. Sometimes the devotees, they travel, and then they all go to India. Here in Finland, you have Crazy Day at Stockmann, and then you can go there. And you can buy tickets really cheap in Crazy Day. Super cheap tickets, crazy tickets. And they all go to India on these crazy tickets. And so then everybody goes to India. And then you are in India and traveled all the way to India. And what do you get? Is all that you see is that everybody else from Finland is also there. So you just wonder, why didn't we just stay home? But the same people are there, and somehow or other get into the mood, of the Dham, and then there is another taste. So we are tasting the same kirtan. We go all the way there, and what do we do there? the same Hare Krishna, everything the same, but yet it is different, the taste is different. We went on a boat on the Ganga on the way to Mom Gachi, and we had like a rocking kirtan on the boat, and the fishermen, they started dancing on their boats. And then we came past a tree on the bank, and there was a crow, and this crow got really into it, and this crow was just screaming at the top of his lungs, really hard, really loud. There was no doubt that this crow was chanting. I mean, absolutely. Some people may say I'm imagining it, but I wasn't, you know, I tell you, he was really into it. And so like this, then when we came back, then dolphins started dancing in front of the boat. We still had the kirtan had never stopped. And the dolphins were dancing, two dolphins were dancing in front of our boat like that. So this is all spontaneous devotional service. The animals in Vrindavan and in the holy dhams are also devotees. And they're very much on the spontaneous platform. I've seen many extraordinary things with animals in the dhams. Like we used to have, in Vrindavan, we would take prasadam in the temple, and then they were carrying the buckets from the kitchen to the main entrance of the temple, and then just as they were carrying, this bird would just make like a total attack. Straight for the sweet rice, you know. Take it. And just like fly half through it, mouth wide open, and shoot. I've never seen anything like it, only in Vrindavan. Such eagerness, really. Such eagerness. Just amazing. And then we had, while we were taking prasadam in the temple, we had a net over the courtyard of the temple to keep out the monkeys. But there was also the tamal tree, which is in the courtyard of the temple in Vrindavan. And the tamal tree had broken the net a little bit. So one monkey came in while the devotees were all taking prasadam. It was just towards the end. Most devotees had left. And then the monkey came down. And then the monkey sat down on the mats in front of an empty plate. So what to do? We just served the monkey. The monkey nicely took prasadam and then left. That was not an ordinary monkey. It is very clear. In Vrindavan, yes. So, but all on the spontaneous platform. So gradually, more and more, devotional service must become spontaneous. Just spontaneous. Because Krishna is so nice. Yes, we'll make a flower garland for him because he is so nice. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And we'll go find some forest flowers and do it. Okay? Somehow or other. For Krishna. Big festivals and arrangements. I don't think I... Was it in Helsinki that I told you about Prabhupada's tree? Or I didn't tell you about Prabhupada's tree? No, it was somewhere just before. You know, in New York, there is the tree in Tompkins Square Park, where Srila Prabhupada began his kirtan. And that tree, of course, it's totally transcendental. Right? That's a wonderful tree. And the thing is that every day there are fresh garlands on that tree nowadays. And it's not organized. It's not that the temple is sending people like, okay, today it's your turn to put the garland on the tree. No. It just happens spontaneous. We don't know who's putting the garlands, but every day there are devotees in New York who are coming to that park and I put fresh garlands on the tree. And there's always garlands hanging on the tree. It's really amazing. Nowadays there's a plaque next to the tree also, a little brass plaque, which says that this was the tree where Vaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami began his chanting in the Western world. But again, the spontaneous element. Right? Spontaneous element is very, very nice. We can also just live like that. Sometimes I have given a lecture and I have said that, you know, if we would have 30 families, then this program could work. That each of the families invites all the others once a month for a big feast. So once a month you cook this big feast, and the rest of the month you go to the other big feasts in everybody's house. In that way you have to cook only once a month, right? And every day you get a feast. And also devotee association. It takes only 30 families. Not difficult to do. Yeah? It's a really good proposal, I think. But somehow or other, no one's done it yet. But in order to encourage you, if you start the program in Finland, or in Norway for that matter, 30 families, then I will also come. And that way we get a feast. Janhanivas will gain some weight, which will be good for him. Yes, in this way, when the devotees come together, then these spontaneous things start to happen. Jayananda, Vishnujan, they were legendary devotees. And they could just, with their enthusiasm, just do amazing things. It is said Vishnujan in the kirtan was just something else. He could just go the whole day and with full enthusiasm, never stop. Right? And just 8 hours a day. And so someone asked him, Vishnujan, how is it that you're always so enthusiastic? He said, I'm not always enthusiastic, but I just act enthusiastic. Then the devotees become enthusiastic, and that makes me enthusiastic. So this is nice. This is a nice example of how we make each other enthusiastic in devotional service. So somehow or other, devotees are always finding a reason to get together. It doesn't take much. And if we just start that culture of inviting devotees, and everybody, if everybody just does that, invite devotees, and suddenly things start to really happen. And just go around the few houses that are there and invite people. And then when they come, right, yeah, one must be served prasadam very generously. Not like, a cup of herbal tea with a cookie. Yeah. Would you like a cookie? Thank you so much, yes. Very nice. We're talking about sumptuous, you know, like, I mean, no, so much, no, I can't eat so much. Yes, yes, just a little, you know. Not so much, just a little of everything. And once you start with a little of everything, then there is just a little more and a little more, and before you know it, you've eaten a huge plate. It goes like that. So this is Vaishnav culture. This is how we bring life. Simply by inviting people. It's not complicated. We can easily do that. Where was Muni Raj? No. You asked me to stop at 10 to 8, was it? Yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah. That's now. Yeah. No, that's fine. Any question? Any comment?
In the beginning you mentioned also chanting different names of Krishna. It came to my mind in the second chapter of the first canto. Prabhupada addresses also a lot the Gayatri Mantra, and in this one purport he says those who expertly or successfully chant the Gayatri Mantra, to them Krishna's form and pastimes are revealed, particularly highlighting the Gayatri Mantra as the mantra that also reveals Krishna. Mm-hmm. So could you maybe say something on the significance of Gayatri Mantra?
Yeah. No? Of course it is said that Lord Brahma chants the Gayatri Mantra, and that he attained full perfection through chanting the Gayatri Mantra. So we're not speaking then about the Brahma Gayatri, but we're speaking about the Gopal Gayatri. There are different Gayatri Mantras. The Brahma Gayatri is basically reminding us how everything is sustained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the first of the Gayatri Mantras, the Brahma Gayatri, we're making the connection. But with in this world where we forget that Krishna is behind everything throughout the day, so three times in the day we again connect with Krishna. But then in the Gopal Gayatri, which is another Gayatri mantra, we remember Gopal and how Gopal is dealing with his devotees and so on. And in that mantra, and how he's dear to the residents of Vrindavan. So in the Gopal mantra, in the Gopal Gayatri, yes, there one can fully realize the spiritual world. And Brahma, he did that through that Gayatri mantra. However, in this age of Kali, it's very difficult to do that properly. It is said that one must be completely situated in the mode of pure goodness to be able to get the full result of chanting the Gayatri. But that for the Maha Mantra there are no conditions. See, that the Maha Mantra can be chanted by anyone, even one who is most fallen, and you'll get purified. So there are no conditions for chanting the Maha Mantra. It can be chanted anywhere, anytime. But for the Gayatri Mantra, one must be situated in pure goodness. Then one can chant it properly. One must be clean and to really get the full benefits. So currently, we are not chanting the Gayatri Mantra in pure goodness, so we are not immediately realizing the spiritual world in our chanting. But still, it helps us to focus. The Gayatri mantras are important because through them we keep the goal very clearly in mind. And we just remember, oh yes, Krishna is behind everything in this world, and there is Krishna in his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. That's where we're going, by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, which is all in the Gayatri mantras. So, but the Maha Mantra is available to all in the form of Nama Bhas, which can eradicate sinful reactions in the heart. And then accompanied with the Panchatattva Mantra, because it says no offenses are counting in chanting of this Panchatattva Mantra, then one can very quickly attain ecstasy and bring that ecstasy back to the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, chanting of the Maha Mantra should be preceded. First we should chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Then we get a little ecstasy. Just when we chant Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktarinda. It's fun. Ecstasy is there. So the Maha Mantra is recommended for all. But and those who are at least getting an inclination towards goodness can begin to chant the Gayatri Mantra, and to perfect it, one must come to purify goodness. Anyone else?
Maharaj, what is then the method to rise to the platform of pure goodness?
What is the method to rise to the platform of pure goodness? The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is purifying us. So that is the best method to come to pure goodness. And because we cannot always chant, we discussed this morning, therefore there's also other types of devotional service to engage our senses and so on. Like I said, you know, we like to drive cars and then we can drive them for Krishna. We like to play with computers and then we can play with the computers for Krishna and so on. Therefore, we may not not reach the platform of pure goodness. We may never get there in this life. But doesn't matter, because if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sufficiently pleased by our service, then he can take us back to Godhead, and then before we enter into the spiritual world, we'll automatically reach this platform of Visuddha Sattva. Just like Dhruva was going back to Godhead, and Dhruva seemed to have a few tinges with anger, like these yakshas got out of hand. But anyway, we got checked, and Dhruva, in the end, for him, a Vaikuntha plane came, and he stepped on the head of death, and then as he stepped on death and went into the Vaikuntha plane, his body transformed, and it became a spiritual body. Right there. So somehow or other, in the course of going back to Godhead, the Visuddha Sattva will come. If we don't realize it here and now, it will come then, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. All we have to do is please Mahaprabhu, please Prabhupada, and then we can go back to Godhead and everything else will be given to us on the way.
Maharaj, you were mentioning about the three names of the Mahaprabhu, Hare Krishna and Rama, and you mentioned about Ramachandra.
Yeah.
And
I mentioned about Ramachandra. In that connection about Ramachandra?
Well, the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ramachandra was first.
Yeah, okay.
So then I was thinking the purport, because I've heard that it's the Rama actually is Radharaman. Not Ramachandra or Balaram.
Yeah, there are different meanings to Ram. He's Radharaman, he's Balaram, he's also Ramachandra. All of those, Prabhupada said. In Hyderabad, there was a discussion between two sannyasis. And Prabhupada said, he's all of those. So that's the ultimate purport in the matter. But I spoke about, gave the meaning as Ramanti Yogino Nante Satchananachiratmani, as transcendental happiness. That Ram is the state of transcendental happiness. Yeah. And that the name Krishna is all attractive, and that Hare is referring to devotional service. So by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, one comes to Ram, to that state of perfect transcendental happiness. That was my translation.
Do you like water? Enough?
No, I don't actually. Thank you. Okay, I think we're finished. And then I heard that you're all going Finnish in the sauna this evening. And that the sauna is divided. Yeah. Ladies' time, men time. Everyone will celebrate in the sauna. So I heard. That's the rumor. Is it true?
Yes. Yeah, so the ladies first, you have like a well, as long as it takes, but recommendation like 35 minutes. Also, if you